Your name, O God. We bless your name, O God. Lord God, be made great in this place. Be made great in and through our lives, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Thank you, team. You may be seated, church. It's good after we've sung the words of the songwriter to add our own words, right? When you buy your beloved an anniversary card, Joseph, you don't just hand her the card. You write something inside it. You personalize it. And in praise and worship, after we've used the words of songwriters, how wonderful it is for us to use our own words to express love and adoration. The writer of Hebrews says, there are two things we do that are pleasing to God. One is giving to those who are in need. And the second is the fruit of our lips giving thanks, the sacrifice of praise. Good thing for us to do. So when I ask the question, what's the next big thing, I wonder what comes to your mind. The next big thing. At Christmas time, sometimes this transfers down to gifts that are given. And through the years, every year, it seems to be there's some gift that becomes the next big thing. Let me take you on a little history lesson today. In 1983, it was the Cabbage Patch Doll. It was the big thing. In 1985, it was the Pound Puppy. And I still remember Pam and I giving one to my niece, Elizabeth, and her body just began to quiver and shake. It's a stuffed dog in a cardboard box. But it was the next big thing. In 1989, it was the Game Boy. Do you remember that? You see those now in museums all over the land. 1995, it was the Beanie Baby craze. Started and it wouldn't just... 1996, it was Tickle Me Elmo. Now, we actually have a friend of our family. His name is Elmo Shresky. So when this happened, we laughed. He doesn't look like that, but he does laugh, and we never tickled him. 2002, it was the iPod. That was the next big thing in 2002. 2006 came the Wii. Yeah, old school. Now, these are a little bit more current, and we don't have young kids, and we don't have grandkids yet. We're not complaining. We don't. 2011, it was the Angry Birds board game, apparently. 2010, the Kindle. I jumped ahead. The Kindle came out. 2011, Angry Birds. 2013, I have no idea what this is. This is the Doc McStuffins doll. And now the one site, I don't know if this is true or not. It seems old now, but they're saying 2015, it's the Elsa sing-along doll from Frozen. Let it go, let it go. Let it go, Pastor Mark. Okay. So every year there's this next big thing that is driven by consumerism and demand, and poor parents and grandparents go crazy trying to get the next big thing. But I want to talk about so much more than the next big gift that's been given in our world this year. Let me ask you another question. All these questions, Pastor Mark, I know. So many questions on a Sunday morning. What's your biggest celebration? What's the biggest celebration that you have been part of in your life? Now, I'm not necessarily talking about birthdays and anniversaries and weddings, and those are all really, really important. But I wonder what's one of the bigger celebrations that you remember in your lifetime. For Edmonton, the former City of Champions, the fact that they just won the Grey Cup is probably a big celebration. And then they lost the entire coaching staff. Welcome to the CFL, eh? Just move things around. It's all very, very exciting. I wonder, and I'm not asking for age this morning, but I wonder how many remember when World War II was announced to be over. Anyone? Yeah, that was a huge celebration. When the word came out that the war was over, there's a huge amount of celebration that takes place. How many remember when the first man walked the moon? Yeah. That was a pretty big deal, a big celebration for our world to get around. I still remember the celebration when the Berlin Wall came down. Do you remember that? The throngs of people on the wall, rocking, picking at it, breaking it apart. A huge celebration in our world that we can celebrate and people remember. So we have these moments that we celebrate, big things that take place. So we've got the big thing, the Christmas gifts that are given. We think about the big celebration that happened on the world stage. I want us to talk this morning about the next big thing, and I think you all know what that big thing is. Luke chapter 2. And again, Christmas Eve, join us for carols and candles. It'll be a wonderful evening together. And we'll hear all of the Christmas story. We've heard parts and pieces through our Advent readings and candle lightings. But I want to bring you to Luke chapter 2, and I want to come to verse 8. And this is a familiar part of the Christmas story. This is where God invented bathrobes that could become costumes for Christmas play. How many shepherds have shown up in a bathrobe? Even wise men sometimes show up in bathrobes, I notice. Very distinguished. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. That's kind of what shepherds do. They watch their sheep. But this night, it's a little bit different. This night, there's a huge celebration. This night, their normal routine is interrupted by the next big thing. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing, this next big thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." I sometimes find people, and I've actually heard people say it to me, not at this church, but in other places, "Oh, I just hate Christmas time. I hate those carols. I just wish we could worship." And I want to hit them with the 2x4 of love. Because if you can't worship God with a Christmas carol, you're not looking at the words. The angels sing a song, a carol of praise. This is a huge thing that takes place. I want us to walk through this text this morning on a couple of different titles that I've used. And I'm trying to combine this with the next big thing, a big celebration, the product of the launch of a new product. I belong to the Apple cult. Please pray for me. I do like most things Apples. But my family gave me money last year for the Apple Watch, which I have not bought yet. I still have the money in my drawer to go towards it. I'm waiting for Generation 2 to see if it impresses me or not. So we'll use some language the idea of the next big thing. So I want to talk about the launch. I want to talk about the launch or the announcement that takes place. Here are these shepherds out in the field. They're watching their flocks at night. Not a usually active time. The sheep may be grazing a little bit, more likely resting, sleeping, but they're there watching over them. And on this normal night, everything becomes unnormal to them. As they watch over their sheep by night, all of a sudden we're told that an angel of the Lord appeals, but the angel of the Lord appeared to them. An angel shows up. Now, I don't know about you, but angels don't show up in my life every day. Now, the Bible says sometimes we entertain angels unaware, so be careful how you treat the stranger. But for the most part, it's not part of my normal routine, day in, day out, week in, week out, that angels kind of show up and make themselves known to me. And it says an angel of the Lord. This is not any angel. This is a high-level angel. The angel of the Lord. Sometimes the Lord shows up pre-incarnation through angelic. Here's the angel of the Lord. Big dude. That's in the Greek. Shows up and appears before the angels. And it says they were afraid. They were terrified. And you would be too. Out of nowhere, this angel of the Lord appears to them. And all of a sudden, everything normal is no longer normal. All of a sudden, the angel appears to them, and they're caught off guard. What seems to be a random place out in the country, and an angel of the Lord appears. And this is not only does the angel appear, but it says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Oftentimes, when God's glory appears, light's part of the picture. So imagine, now, you know what it's like. It's hard in the city with light pollution. But if you're out in the country, away from city lights, on a clear night, when the stars are out, it's amazing how much light is there. On a night of a full, I love watching the walking dog on a full moon night and seeing my shadow from the moon. That's really, really cool. But this goes beyond just the light of a full moon. This is the glory of the Lord shines on them. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the field, it's like being in Times Square in New York City. Or Piccadilly Circus. Or Las Vegas. Never been there, but they say it's bright at night. A light shows up. This is unusual. This is not normal. So all of a sudden, we have the angel of the Lord appears, begins to talk to them. The glory of the Lord shines all around them. It's kind of going to a night game at Commonwealth where it feels like daylight on the field. Because God's glory is shining on them. And just as they're trying to get their blood pressure down, trying to adjust to this sight of the angel of the Lord and the glory shining around them, all of a sudden says, and then there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying glory to God in the highest. A multitude of angels, more than a dozen. In my sanctified imagination, I'm seeing thousands of angels that fill the night sky and begin to sing a Christmas carol, which is worship unto God. These poor shepherds are just minding their business, and all of a sudden there's the angel, there's the glory. And by the way, the angels weren't, yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment, they weren't the most obvious people, you would think. The angels had a sense. God had a history plan. He had a salvation story prepared. But the angels don't know all the detail of it. Oh, I think in heaven. Again, this is my sanctified imagination. The angels in heaven have this idea. They know that Lucifer has fallen. They know that mankind has sinned. They know that God the Father has a salvation plan, but they don't know exactly what it's going to look like. They don't understand all the ins and outs. But they've been hearing rumors. They've been hearing things that God's getting ready to act. And all of a sudden this night, they get they're all their BlackBerries and iPhones go off, and there's a text message, "Join in the sky, it's going down." And they have some sense that God is about to bring about his plan to bring a Savior to the world. And they're so excited to be there. Praising God. Praising God. Not fully knowing all that would involve, but now they begin to realize that the word's out that God is sending his Son, the second one of the Trinity, God sending his Son into the world to save everybody. No wonder they sang glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. They're there to see the launch. They're there for this announcement. The announcement that's being made. If we move beyond the idea of the announcement, let's talk about the impact of this announcement. They sing glory to God in the highest. What's happening in this birth of baby Jesus has a huge impact in God's kingdom purposes. Jesus the Savior was going to come to deal with the sin issue, man's biggest issue. It's beginning to unfold. Salvation's beginning to roll out by God. And now the angels begin to sing glory to God. This is a big deal. This is bringing glory to God. We need to just pause here for a moment. Sometimes we're praying for God to do stuff for me. God, I want this. I need this. I think I would like this, and I'd like it by Thursday, please. It's true, isn't it? Some of our prayer times, if we're not careful, can sound like whining of what we want. The most important thing at play is not what I want, but what God wants. In fact, the most important thing is not what I want to receive, but that God himself would receive glory. Glory to God. Yes, the Savior was coming to save me, but first and foremost, this was going to bring glory to God. This whole salvation plan, first and foremost, is about bringing glory to God, shining glory back on the one who is all glorified. He is God. He is God. And he deserves all of the glory. And so the impact of this announcement is that this is going to bring glory to God. The Bible says that he can't wait to present us faultless before the Father. Why? Because it brings glory to God. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, as he instructed us, we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven." Before you start praying for your daily bread, and thank God that we can, but we need to pray for God's glory, for God's kingdom, for God's will. So the impact of this announcement, first and foremost, it brings glory to God. That's wonderful. May it be that every one of us, as we live our lives, that there's something happening in us that brings glory to God. In fact, I would suggest that how you live your life either shines light or casts a shadow. If we live our life right, we are shining light on God and it brings him glory. When I don't live well, I begin to cast a shadow and he's not as visible. Make sense? So this is a big deal. This announcement is a big deal because it brings glory to God in the highest. But then also on earth towards men. We'll talk about the specifics in a moment, but this big event brings glory to God, but it also brings benefit for those of us who are on earth. There's something happening that is towards mankind. So this event that's taking place is one that is both heavenly in its impact, glory to God, but also earthly. Benefit to our lives. There's something in this event that is temporal. There's help to you and I living in the real time right now. But there's something that happens eternally as well through this announcement of the good news of Jesus Christ. So the announcement, the launch, the impact. Let's talk about the target group. The unlikely and unsuspecting invited guests to this moment. So there are shepherds in the field watching their flocks, because that's what shepherds do. It'd be weird if they're watching something else, right? Watching their cows, but no, they're watching their flocks, that's what they do. Now shepherds had an important place to play in society. They were all over the place, but they weren't at the top of the social totem pole. You read some of the historical writings about shepherds in that time, and for some people, shepherds had a bit of a shady reputation. They're a little transient. They smelt because they spent time with sheep. And sheep are cute and cuddly, but they can also smell. They were not the upper crust of their culture, of their society. They were the working class, near the bottom of it. They weren't the leaders of the community. They weren't the religious leaders of the synagogue. They were the working stiffs out in the field with their sheep. Now, when Apple does their big launch events, they have a nice big auditorium, and they invite all the who's who of the technology world. They invite all the developers who will then take their wonderful new products and develop more tools because they need to make more money, because they have more money than some small countries. But they bring in the very, you don't, they bring in the elite for their big announcement. And here, there's no king, there's no mayors of local towns. It's these unlikely, unsuspecting shepherds. And by the way, this is not random. This is how God works. God's kingdom is not like our kingdom. He comes to the unsuspecting. He comes to the lowly, to the humble, and to them, he makes his announcements. Not the religious leaders, not the political rulers, the everyday, ordinary shepherds, real people like you and I, are the ones who hear it first. And listen to the language of what the angel says. I bring you. I bring you news. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Yes, this will be for all mankind, but the angel says to these shepherds, I bring to you this good news. Put yourself in the scenario. It's not just for a leaf view. It's for us. He brings us. He says, there is born to the world. No. He says, there is born to you, a Savior. He's making it so personal. This is not just random news that, like sometimes we get so random we lose its impact. Like we pray, God, bless the world. Well, bless you for praying that, but could you be a bit more specific?
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Cheryl. He says, there's born to the world, yes, but there's born to you a Savior. I love how he makes it so personal. I bring you good tidings of great joy. There is born to you shepherds. And then he says, which is for all people. So he does include all of us in there. He does include the world, but he starts with the shepherds. I bring you good news. There's born to you a Savior, Christ the Lord, and this will be for all people. All people. When the Bible talks about all people, when we're told by Jesus to go into all the world, it's not just geography, it's people groups. Every people group deserves to hear about Jesus. And so it starts with these shepherds, but then he says, this news, which is for you, it'll be for all people. And we didn't get down to the whole part of the story, but after they've come to see Mary and baby Jesus, the Bible says they returned praising God and telling a few people. No. Telling everybody all they had seen and heard. It starts with this unlikely group of misfits, of lower working people out in the field just doing their shift work. And then the message comes to them, the gift comes to them, and then they're told that for you it'll be for all people. So what's the benefit? What's the description? What does this next new thing do for all of us? Let's go back and hear what the angel said to them. I don't know when this, does anyone know when loot bags began to happen? Where you go to a birthday party and you come home with something? Like, I don't know if that happened when I was a kid. Did it, Pam? Can you remember? I'm much older than you, so you wouldn't remember. But you know, also, your kids are going to a party and they're going to bring a gift, but then they come home with gifts. I'm going, I don't remember that happening. I do have a poor memory sometimes long term, but they got something out of it. On this big announcement, there's something. Now, we had door prizes on Friday night here, giving thousands, it just felt like that. He's giving thousands of prizes away, which is lovely. One of our traditions with Pam's family is that on Christmas Day, there'll be a family gift exchange. Gender neutral, no more than $25. You don't know what you're going to get. You hope. So you buy something nice that if Worst comes, you'll get your own gift, take it home. Well, listen to the benefits of this next big thing. The angel says things like good tidings of great joy. Our world is filled with bad news, isn't it? But even again this week with those two murders, just senseless. And our news, unfortunately, bad news sells papers. Bad news makes people tune in to CNN and watch it over and over and over. We live in a world that's filled with bad news. But this next big thing says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you good news. The gospel, evangelion, the Greek word literally means good news. That's what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. Even though you were a sinner, you can be saved. Your sins were like scarlet, they can be white as snow. You can be forgiven. Christmas, this next big thing, is not just a photo op by God. It brings us good tidings of great joy, good news. This is worth celebrating. It's worth celebrating. The most exciting service in a church's year should be when water baptism takes place. It shouldn't be some solemn thing where we just fold our hands and go, speak quietly. We should shout and yell and hoop and holler because people are giving testimony to good news of great joy. And again, you've heard it said before, sometimes we walk around like Christians and we look like we've been baptized in lemon juice. We don't look really attractive to the world. I'm a Christian. No matter how hard it hurts. You want to be Christian too? Good tidings of great joy. He's come for us. He says there's peace on earth. Oh, we need that. We're living in a world where it's still a sin-cursed world. There's brokenness, and because of the brokenness, there's a lack of peace in a lot of places. But he said, there will be peace on earth. He comes to give us peace internally. Peace between me and God. Because the Bible says that before I know Jesus, I'm at enmity. I'm an enemy of God. But he comes to bring peace between me and God. He brings internal peace where before I'm in turmoil and I'm all mixed up. But when somehow, when the good news of great joy comes into my life, when Christ comes, I know his peace and I can be at peace. Oh, which reminds me, next Sunday, the message is called No Worries. That phrase that we hear a lot in Alberta. We didn't notice it. No worries. Where did that phrase come from? Well, we're going to talk about no worries next Sunday. No worries. And by the way, part of the message will be a moment where I'm going to ask some of you to give me a word of testimony, a word of thanksgiving, a word, a sentence, not a... I'll explain. But we should be able to testify that fact that there is the peace of God stands on guard over our hearts and our minds. That's part of the text that it's in. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. Yes, he's a holy God who will judge sin, but he comes through the good news of Jesus to show goodwill towards us. He shows grace towards us through Jesus Christ. That's a good deal for all of us. For all of us. That he comes. He comes to bring that good news to us and goodwill towards men. He sees us. He understands where we're at. He knows exactly what we need. And he's intent on giving us what we need, not what we deserve. He gives us grace. Mercy means I don't receive what I do deserve. Grace means I receive what I don't deserve. His goodwill towards me. His goodwill towards Jesus Christ. And it's all wrapped up in the fact that unto you is born a Savior. That's the next big thing. A Savior has come. The next big thing is a Savior who comes to all of us. Oh, folks, never get over the day that God saved you. If you got saved as a young child, don't say, I've been saved all my life, because you weren't. At some point in time, you connected with the Savior. We're not born saved. We're born sinners, and then a Savior comes, and he saves us. When I was a young kid, we have a family cottage at a church camp on Lake Ontario. And I was just a little guy. I was playing with another young girl, and we had gone down to a dock, and Doc Olson had been painting his cottage, and we had come across an old, empty, dry paint can. And so we grabbed sticks, and we went on the dock, and we had this thing floating in the water. It was our pretend boat. We're kids. We're little. It worked for us, and we had our sticks, and we're just trying to control it off the dock, and I don't know what happened. I hate to think that a girl bullied me and pushed me in the water, but I went in the water and I couldn't swim. And I can still remember, I was in the water, I was trying to grab on. At one point in time, I grabbed the leg of the dock under the water, but I was under the water, so it wasn't helping me, and I was panicking. I'd come up and gone under more than three times. And then all of a sudden, there was a hand that reached down and pulled me out of the water. If Dr. Olson hadn't heard the cry, hadn't heard the scream of the little girl, if he hadn't come down, I wouldn't be here this morning. The hand reached in and grabbed me and pulled me, and he saved me. That's the next big thing for all of us, is that unto us is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He's come to save us. He's come to save us. It's for you and I. It's the next good news that's for us. This next big thing puts the hope in New Hope Christian Assembly.
Amen.
Because he's come to save us. And kind of mind you, he's come to save your neighbors. He's come to save your family. He's come to save your friend, not just you. So, these poor shepherds get the shock of their lives when an angel shows up, and then God turns on the spotlight of heaven and glory shines. And then the biggest, baddest choir you've ever heard lights up the night with the singing, glory to God in the highest. On earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So I just want to remind you this morning and maybe ask you to think with me that we would be connecting with this next big thing, that it would be part and parcel of our Christmas, not just the lights, not just the trees, not just the gifts, not just the food. I love the food. This is going to be a really good week. But it's more than all of that. It's a Savior who's come. And if we lose sight of the Savior, we lose sight of the next big thing. And he's come for us. And he's come for our families. He's come for our friends. He's come for our neighbors. Would you just close your eyes for a moment with me? Thank you, Jesus. Just doesn't have to be loud. Just begin to thank him this morning for the next big thing. Would you do that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You've come to save us. You've come to save us. Come to save us. This is worth celebrating. This is worth celebrating. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Sing it again. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Father God, we want to celebrate this morning the good news, the good tidings of great joy, that to us a Savior is born. Lord God, I pray that none of us would ever get over the day you saved us. May grace never cease to be any less than amazing to us. May every gift that we give and receive over this week, giving with a sense of joy, receiving with a sense of gratitude, may every time a gift passes through our hands, may something inside of us to say, God, thank you for your incredible gift. Thank you for giving us a Savior. May our gift giving be a small representative of that great gift that we celebrate at Christmas time. And Lord, I pray, even as we just sang those words, I pray that we would go and tell it not just on the mountains, but tell it on the streets and the avenues of Edmonton. That it would come up in conversation over lunch, coffee break. That somehow we can't help but talk about the good news, the good tidings of great joy, that a Savior's come. I pray, God, to give us wisdom in how we tell people, because if we're trying to convince them ourselves, it's not going to work well. But Spirit of God, that you would use us and speak through us, and that would be your work to open ears and eyes to hear and see. But may we be so caught up with this next big thing that we can't help but talk about it. So I pray, God, I pray that for New Hope Christian Assembly, there'll be no question mark as to what the hope's all about. It's not our building. It's not our worship. It's not even our banquets. It's not our services. It's our Savior. And may we find ways to make him known in the power of the Holy Spirit, not just at Christmas time, but throughout the years, that it would be the big thing that we celebrate. We ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray even now for Christmas Eve, as the sign is changed and people in the neighborhood will see that there's carols and candles on Christmas Eve, I pray for some who may wander in here looking for a traditional thing to do at Christmas time. I pray that even through there, there will be people who will just be reminded of the greatest gift of all, a Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody who agreed said,
amen.
So folks, go tell it wherever you are, on the mountains, on the plains, go and tell people that Jesus Christ is born. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we do that when we get something new. We celebrate it, so make sure you do that. God bless you. And don't forget, we've got manly snacks today. Not too sure what that means. You may want to pray before you take it. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful, blessed Christmas week.